Our shir tonight, it's a special shir because when you learn at a time when there's not much learning going on in the world, so you get to grab a lot of special divine energy. It's no joke. There was one Hasidic Sherebi who, one of the great of the greats, that someone once asked him that he didn't come from Yichus, he didn't come from any great lineage. How did he become, you know, so great? So he said, you should know. One time, in a moment of self-revelation, my father told me, said, you should know that one time, I forgot when it was like a Purim night that his father decided he was going to sit down and learn Torah. And he was learning Torah and he fell asleep while learning. And in his dream, he had a revelation that told him, you should know there was no one else in the world learning while you were learning. And because your learning kept the world going, you're going to have a child that's going to keep the world going through his Torah. You'll see. So I had a Rebbe who often said, I have a Rebbe who always said that you want to be learning Torah when no one else learns Torah. So I know there are like these online halftime shows that are Divrei Torah. We're here with Mashim. We came to learn Torah together. This is the Nashim Tzidkaniyos that are going to bring us out of Galus. I did point out at Shal Shudas, one idea that it's just an unbelievable lesson. Every year I like to check up. I'm a little bit of a nerd like this. Every year I like to check up, how much does a 30-second Super Bowl ad cost?
A lot.
You know how much it was? I just checked today.
What?
No. I was off.
It was
something like 5.25 million, like $5.25 million for 30 seconds. So you know what that makes a second worth? Do you know what that makes 1 second worth? It's crazy. 1 second is worth $175,000. It's like crazy. It's crazy when we just think about time and what we're gonna do. So it's every year. It's like a little bit of a nudge I give myself. You know what a second's worth? You know how much time do you waste? Time? You know. So Baruch Hashem, we are not wasting any seconds. The learning tonight should be L'Aliyas Neshama Risha Bas Tzvi Yaakov, Dr. Robin Goldman. Adam's mom, whose yard site is this week. The learning that we do should bring Aliyah Lenishmasa. Adam spoke at Shal Shudas very beautifully, shared some Torahs from her. And the learning we do tonight, you know, as Sharon, you said, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, Baruch Hashem, Nashim Tzidkaniyos, a learning Aliyah Nishmasa. So Parshas Beshalach is a parsha that the Mekubalim go to town on. I mean, all of Kriyas Yam, all of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but especially Kriyas Yamsuf, because we know there's a Medrash in Tehillim, in Perek Chaf Beis, Ayelet HaShachar, Perek said by, according to tradition, Esther Hamalka. And in the Perek, right, Esther cries out, Keli, Keli, Lama Azavtani, my God, why have you forsaken me? What's interesting is the Medrash on that chapter of Tehillim 22 says, Keli, Keli, why does Esther call out to God twice? So the Lashon, the language of the Medrash is Keli Shebekriyas Yamsuf V'Keli Shebemamad Har Sinai. Esther calls out, my God, twice because she's really referring to two aspects of the relationship with God. One, the God that I saw at the splitting of the sea, and the other, the God that I saw at Mamad Har Sinai, at the giving of the Torah Mount Sinai. And we know what is the common denominator between these two experiences. So the Nesiv HaShalom and many, many others point out, very obvious, that these were the two greatest revelations in all of history. There were no revelations such as these two. When the Jewish people were walking through the split sea, right, the language of the Pasuk, Ze Keli Vanveu, this is my God, and I will glorify God, right? And that they could point. They had this incredible vision of God. And at Mamad Har Sinai, at the foot of Mount Sinai, it was even a greater vision. It was a vision so deep, so lofty, both at the same time, that their souls were just yearning to just be one with God, and not even to stay here anymore, just to be connected to the Almighty. And so many, many Svarim bring down that's what Esther is talking about. That those were two intense experiences of feeling God's presence, but also it helps define two aspects of our relationship with God. And this is why you should know that there is a part of davening when you think about it, and it's something that I've wondered about for years, and we've spoken about it before, that do you realize there are only really two parts of davening from the Torah every day? There are only two parts of davening that come from the Torah. One, of course, is Shema. We say Shema every day, and what's the other part of davening? Az Yashir, part of Psukei Dezimra, the verses that we say to get us ready for Shema, to get us ready for Shmona Esrei, the Amida, to stand in front of the Almighty, is Az Yashir, right? It's so strange. I understand why we say Shema, right? We've said, Rabbi Liebtag, when he was here, Scholar in Residence, pointed out, he said that Shema is like, it's like the Pledge of Allegiance. The Pledge of Allegiance, how you start your day, you Pledge of Allegiance, right? They don't do that in school anymore, do they? They do that in school every day?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Okay. They do it in JC? In Kushner? I don't know. I don't know if she used to Pledge Allegiance. I don't know. So every day a Jew starts her day with Pledge of Allegiance. Your Pledge of Allegiance is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? So I understand. But why do we say the Shiras Hayam every day? Why do we say the Song of the Sea? What is it? And again, there are many Kabbalistic notions. There's an idea in Kabbalah that anyone who says the Shira Sayam, anyone who says it with great intention and with great joy, they forgive all your sins. Now that's a pretty good one, right? All your sins forgiven just by saying that, I'll take out a guitar, I'll start strumming, I'll start singing for a couple of hours. It takes away all your sins. But what does it mean? Why is Shira Sayam so significant? So what we see from this Medrash of Tilm of Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani, Keli Shebekriyas Yamsuf, Keli Shebemamad Har Sinai, that the suggestion is that the reason why we say Az Yashir is because at the Shira Sayam, when we sang and we had this great vision of God, it solidified one aspect of our relationship with Hashem. And in fact, we know that the Yontif of Pesach really has a beginning to the Yontif and an end to the Yontif. Sukkis only has a beginning. We don't realize that Sukkis has a first day Yontif. There's no last days of Sukkis. What's it called? It's called Shmini Atzeres. That's a different holiday. That is not Sukkis. It's its own holiday, right? Pesach does have an end to it. Pesach has the first day of Pesach, and then it has Shvi'i Shel Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach. Why is there a seventh day of Pesach? Because what happened the seventh day of Pesach? Seventh day of Pesach was the splitting of the sea and the song. So why does Pesach have two parts to it? Because the process that began on the first day of Pesach really only concluded on the seventh day of Pesach. That's one aspect is in terms of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we'll talk about that as well, that there are many different approaches to this.
Well,
but yeah.
What is the first day of Pesach then?
That was when they left Egypt. They left Egypt on the 15th, and right, they were going into the desert, and we know it's in the beginning of the Parsha,
right,
that they tell Paro, hey, the Jews aren't coming back. Because when the Egyptians sent them out, they were still under the preconceived notion that what?
3 days.
Based, again, Moshe didn't ask them this, meaning they said, go out. So Moshe said, okay, we're going. But they thought, wait, it's based on your 3 days. It wasn't based on the 3 days. You're sending us out, right? Now, it wasn't about 3 days. But they thought, so when they come tell Paro, hey, the Jews aren't turning back. So Paro said, okay, let's chase them. They chase them. They get to them by the 6th. And then the 7th is when the miracle happens, right? So that's why the seventh day of Pesach, when Kriyas Yamsuf happens, is really the completion of the Exodus. Why? Because the Nesiv HaShalom, and again, many others point out that the first step was physically leaving Egypt, right? But when we know when Paro chases after them and calls Sus V'Rechev, all the horses and all the chariots of Egypt are chasing after the Jews. So on one level, just psychologically, when the Jews, former slaves, turn around and they see their captors, they see those that were responsible for torturing them and subjugating them and making their lives hell for how many decades or centuries, again, that's a whole debate also. So they were afraid, right? They were still psychologically enslaved to Egypt. When did that break? That broke only when they saw the Egyptians on the shore of the sea. When they saw the might of Egypt broken on the shore of the sea, that's when they recognized they're no longer a threat and we are no longer enslaved to them. we are free of them. But Kabbalistically, and what they point out is that when we left Egypt, that was physically. Spiritually, the Tumah, also known as the Klipa, the husk of Egypt, was still holding on to the Jewish people. And when did that husk of Egypt, when was that thrown off of us? When did we finally have the ability to shine ourselves? That was at the Yam Suf. That's when we finally broke free from the spiritual slavery. And that's why it was only then that we were able to sing. It was only then that we were able to have this great vision of God. Because it's interesting, the night of the Exodus itself, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem said, I'm going to be going into Egypt, right? We say it at the Seder night every year. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo sarif, ani hu v'lo achar. Hashem says, I'm going to come into Egypt. But where were the Jews when Hashem came into Egypt? They were stuck in their homes. They weren't allowed to leave their homes, right? They had to put the blood on the doorposts and on the top. They weren't allowed to leave their homes. They weren't allowed to behold this vision of God that was passing through Egypt on that night. You know, I think of like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, although that's an old movie. I don't know who remembers it, right? You remember? Okay, you remember, Bob? Okay, thank you. So, you know, at the end when Indiana Jones told Marion, don't look, don't look, right? There's sometimes, what?
It's on TV.
Oh, it was? Okay. So, you know, there's sometimes that you can't behold the vision of God. You know, in the night of the Exodus, the Jews couldn't leave. God was going through Egypt. They weren't allowed to leave. But Kriyas Yam Suf, they were able to see everything. Kriyas Yam Suf, they were able to totally, totally behold this amazing, amazing vision. And that's why in davening, both in Shacharis, and it's interesting, because this is the lead up to the Amidah. The Amidah is the main prayer, right? Shmona Esrei is the main prayer that we say every day. It's when we stand, it's when we praise God, it's when we ask from God, it's when we thank God, right? But what's the lead up to Shmona Esrei, both in the morning and at night? It talks about, of course, Yetzias Mitzrayim. The third paragraph of Shema talks about the Exodus. But the paragraphs in between the end of Shema and Shmona Esrei, both at night, Emes ve'emunah, and in the morning, Emes ve'yatzev, in the continuation of the paragraph as you get closer to Shmona Esrei, both of them talk about specifically the miracles by the sea. Because what was it that happened at the sea? And we say it at night, that by Kriyas Yam Suf, there was a new relationship that was forged between God and the Jewish people. Because the night of Egypt, when Paro was running around, the Medrash tells us, to send the Jewish people out, and he couldn't find the Moshe. So Pharaoh was running through the Jewish neighborhood, and you know what? He was just screaming out at midnight, in the middle of the night. He was screaming out, Lo avodaihem avdechahem, they're not my slaves, they're your slaves. God, they're not my slaves, they're your slaves. I don't want them. You take them, free, right? I'm not charging you anything. Just get them out of here. And so that night, at that moment, we became slaves to God. But what happened by the sea? You know what happened at the sea? At the sea, we became the children of God. Right, he wanted us back. But what happened was, we became the children of God. Vara'u vanecha, your children saw. It was at Kriyas Yam Suf that Moshe refers to later on in Torah, Kinesha Yer Kino, Al Gozalav Yer Achef, that God was protecting us by the sea, the way a bird protects the young, right? If it's a type of bird that the other birds of prey can swoop down, they hold their young in their claws, right, under them. But if you're the Kinesher, Yair Kino, right, the Nesher, which is a debate, what exactly the Nesher is. We like to translate the Nesher as
eagle,
right? So Dr. Natan Slifkin, he likes to argue that a Nesher is really, right, a vulture. Excellent. That the Nesher is a vulture, because the Nesher, that is the highest flying bird. So where does the Nesher, where does the vulture, the eagle, put their young? If there's no birds of prey on top of them, the only danger they can have is from an arrow being shot at them. So they actually put their young on their back, right? So the image of the Egyptians shooting their arrows at the Jewish people, and there was the pillar of the Amud Eish and the Amud Anan, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud that was protecting the Jewish people. And it was really at Kriyas Yam Suf that we became Hashem's children, when that unique relationship was forged. And you know why we say Az Yashir every day? because that's worthy of singing about, that we are the children of God. Every day we're supposed to be reminded of that relationship, because all too often we totally forget how much Hashem really loves us. All too often we think about, you know, we spoke about Shabbos morning, the obligations that we have, and yes, we do have obligations, but their obligations are what the parent puts on us for our betterment. Hashem is a loving parent who wants us to have the best life imaginable. Hashem wants us to have the most enjoyment and pleasure in life, and that's why He gave us Torah and mitzvos. So what? But what is the reminder of that uniqueness of the relationship every day? It's Oz Yashir. That's what's supposed to remind us. And that's why a person who sings Oz Yashir, again, Oz Yashir isn't only a song about the future. It's not only a song about the past. Oz Yashir is a song of who we are right now, that we merited to have such an amazing, amazing experience, that God had this great revelation for us. And that's why Esther, when she feels bereft, when Esther feels alone, that's the first keli why she cries out. What happened to that relationship, God, of Kriyas Yamsuf? That relationship that we saw, Hashem Gibor Melchama, that Hashem was this warrior defending His children. Where are you now, right? And what's the other keli? What's the other time? What's the other aspect of the relationship? So the other aspect of the relationship is the relationship that was forged, as we said, at Har Sinai. But what was the nature of that relationship? We know from Shir HaShirim, we know from the Medrash and Shir HaShirim, that the relationship at Har Sinai was not parent and child, but it was between husband and wife. It was a relationship of spouses. That at Har Sinai is when we made the commitment to Hashem, we formally committed ourselves through accepting the Torah to be in this relationship with Hashem. And that's the other time when we saw Hashem the clearest, and it makes so much sense, because these are the two paradigms of what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be part of Am HaNivchar, either to feel banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, that you're child of God, right? And that relationship can never be broken. That relationship always exists. And that's why the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us it's a machlokes, but the way that we rule is that banim, even when they sin, even when the Jewish people sin against Hashem, adayin kriyim banim, we still have that status of children in that relationship with Hashem. But the relationship of Har Sinai is a higher level relationship. The relationship of husband and wife is a higher level of love than parent to child. And that relationship is what was forged at Har Sinai. And that relationship, though, takes even greater response, action on our behalf. You see, to become the children of God, though, we did have to do something, right? To leave Egypt, we didn't have to do much. There was a carbon, we just had to show that we identified as part of the Jewish people. We pointed that out on Shabbos. Carbon Pesach was the first national carbon. The significance of Carbon Pesach is that's when you say, I am a Jew, Ivri Anochi, right? That's why a person who neglects the Carbon Pesach, it's one of the worst positive commandment violations in the Torah, right? Karis, not to have your Carbon Pesach, because that's essentially saying that I'm not part of the Jewish people, right? So that's, but at Kriyas Yamsuf, to become a child, what did they have to do? What did the Jewish people have to do? Whereas, you know, when we left Egypt, it was known in Kabbalah as an Isserusa de la Ela, an awakening from above. We didn't have to do anything to leave Egypt. It was all from God. It was from up, down. But when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, we did have to do something. What did we have to do?
Trust.
We had trust.
But we're right. Called the children, but we're called Bnei Israel.
Yeah, no, even before.
Yeah.
No. True.
I was gonna say,
no, but Bnei Yisrael, but in B'Shalach is when we're the children of Hashem. That's where Bnei Yisrael. You hear the difference, Sherry?
Yes.
That's the difference. Yes. That's when we're banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. But the idea is, you just said trust, right? I often think of the time that we, you know, like it's painful to watch your first child to learn how to walk. Because I still remember we brought Sarah to Dr. Gribitz. He was a doctor on the Upper East Side of Mount Sinai. Yeah, you remember? He was Leah's pediatrician. He was a pediatrician we used for Sarah. And Sarah was first like learning how to walk. And in my parents' house in Staten Island, there were these like steps, like this tiny little half step between the hallway and the living room and the hallway and the dining room. So she had like black and blue marks. But like he says, okay, by law, I have to ask you, how did she get, not that I'm nervous about anything, but by law, I have to ask you how she got all these black and blue marks. And of course, first time parents were like, ah, you know, what do you mean? She fell. My parents like, okay, I know. I just, but for a child, there has to be a sense of trust. And I often think of the Jewish people by the sea. The seas are raging in front of them. Egypt's behind them. They're like, what do we do? We're messed. And Moshe says, Hashem says, just take a step. This has to be the leap of faith. It's like a child starting to weeble wobble, and parents like, wait, where are you going? You keep moving back. Hey, hold on here, right? And we jumped in to create that level of relationship. We had to do something. It couldn't just come without us taking a step. And that step was the step into the Yam Suf. And then by Marmon Har Sinai, to achieve the level of Dodim, of Beloved, to achieve the highest level of the Chuppah of Har Sinai, that took a much longer preparation. The preparation of Sfiras HaOmer, the preparation of the 7 weeks. And that was really an oath that we took, right? That's why the holiday of Shavuos is Shavuos, not only weeks, but also Shavuos from the oaths. There were 2 oaths that were taken at Har Sinai. We made an oath to Hashem, we're going to keep your Torah. And Hashem made an oath to us that you are my people and I'm never going to abandon you. I might send you away. There might be a period of estrangement, but I'm never going to leave you. And these two relationships are exactly why Esther cries out, Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Zavtani. My God, my God, my God, from Kriyas Yamsuf. My God, from Mamad Har Sinai, where are you? Why can't I feel you? Why can't I perceive your presence? And that's why the words of Esther Hamalka are words that we still connect to so deeply, because so often in life we feel these moments of Kaylee, Kaylee, Lama Zavtani. But where are you, God? But what we have to do is we have to strengthen our connection to those moments, to those facets of the relationship of Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, that you continuously recognize as children to Hashem, even if you sin, to recognize that even if the relationship is strained and even a status of estrangement, but we know that we're going to go back. We know that Hashem says we're not going to send you away forever. Right? That's why one of my Rebbeim, Rav Shechter, points out why he thinks Yom HaTzmut is a real Yom Tov, because the Navi says, I'll send you away twice, I won't send you away a third time. When you come back the third time, that's it. That's it. You're not going to be sent away again. The fact that we've gone back a third time, so that's it. We're not going to be sent away again. The Jewish people will never be sent out of Eretz Yisrael again, according to the Navi. Rav Shechter says Yerushalayim, though, and he says it's not as much of a guarantee. He says, interesting, Yom Yerushalayim, he thinks, doesn't have the same halachic status as Yom HaTzmaut, because Yom Yerushalayim, he said, there are no guarantees that we're going to have Yerushalayim ad bias goel tzedek. Once we get it a third time, that we're going to have it until the redemption. Who knows? Who knows what can happen? God forbid. But that's why when we come to a Parshas Bishalach, this is really the formalization of the beginning of the relationship with Hashem. Right? And any mitzvahs that were before Matan Torah, any mitzvahs to Avram, even the concept of the Bris Milah, we don't do a Bris Milah because Avram Avinu was told to do Bris Milah. We keep Bris Milah because it was commanded to us at Har Sinai. We know there are 2 brachos. It certainly is the concept of the covenant of Abraham. But what binds us is the relationship that Hashem created with the Jewish people. We know, unfortunately, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, when we say V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, we know that according to some, there were many children of Avram, Yitzchak and Yaakov, that didn't get out of Egypt, right? So we know that they were part of a covenant. We assume they had Bris Milah, although we know that in Egypt for many years there was no Bris Milah. But we know that that covenant did not carry through, and that there were so many people who unfortunately did not leave Egypt. And so this is really, when we come to a Parshas B'Shalach, what Yamsuf really represents, the reason why Yamsuf has that important place in our daily tefillos. And, you know, it's interesting, halachically, it doesn't take such an important place. Meaning, if you come late to davening, Az Yashir is one of the first things you skip. But the truth is, for me personally, it's a reason that I try to get there somewhat on time to be able to say the Shira Sayam. Personally, saying Shira Sayam is very important to me every day. It's good Shelly takes a nice cup, a nice Psukei Dezimra, you know, and Shelly says it every word, and I hear it, and it's clear, and it's beautiful. But to be able to say the Shira Sayam every day, you know what you're singing about? You're singing about that you're a child of God. You're singing about the close relationship that Hashem forged with us. How amazing is that? When we learn Torah, when we hear the laning of Torah, that's a reminder of the other relationship. We know that the Gemara tells us there was a time in the Beis HaMikdash, they actually would say the Aseres HaDibros every day. And they wanted to establish it in part of davening outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but why didn't they? You know what the Gemara says? The Gemara says that they didn't put the Aseres HaDibros as part of davening because then people would say, what? That this is the only thing God really gave. God only gave 10 commandments, nothing else. That's why you make it special. So Chazal yanked it out of davening. They said, nice idea, but no, it can't. But we see they wanted it as part of davening. Why is Aseres, but Taco, good, why is Aseres HaDibros part of davening? Why should it be part of davening? So what I like to suggest, it was supposed to be part of davening, the same reason for Az Yashir being part of davening. Because we need the reminder every day that we're children of God, that we're the beloved of God. And that's what we have to keep ourselves going with every day. We know Rabbeinu Yon, it's brought down, he was one of the great Rishonim in the Sefer Yira, that, and I say this all the time, but it's worthy to review it over and over again. Rabbeinu Yon writes, the Pesach Rishon, the first gate that you have to walk through, to be able to have meaningful service of God, is that you have to know and you have to feel how much God loves you. That's what he says. You have to know and you have to feel how much God loves you. And we often don't talk about that enough, right? We need to talk about that enough, more and more, that how much Hashem loves us, and that everything that we're given ultimately is out of that sense of love. And that's why it's so important to try, and we mentioned this in the Sha'arim B'Tfila WhatsApp, the last one, it's such a yesod gadol in life, that, you know, Yirmiyahu HaNavi in Eicha says, Kumi Roni V'Alayla, get up and sing at night. And you know what the end of the pasuk says? You know, I get to sing up at night? Because the children are enveloped by starvation in the streets. Like, huh? Kumi Roni V'Alayla, get up, sing at night because the kids are starving in the streets? You crazy? So what does that mean? Roni means to sing, Rina, right? Kumi Roni Balaila. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus points out in the Sha'arim B'Tfila, we shared that he says, why do you have to sing? Because when you sing, when you connect to God in joy, God connects to you in joy. And in the place where God is, there you will find blessing. There you will find shefa and divine energy and divine bounty. And that's why the greatest, you know, they say, the greatest way to activate divine blessing is to be besimcha, is to be joyous, and to serve God with joy, and to look at life, if you can see, through joyous lenses. It's the greatest way to access divine blessing. In all ways, with anything that it is that we want. And so that's what B'Shalach is about, and that's what Shiras Hayam really is about. But I wanted to share, okay, it's a little bit late, I apologize, so we won't go so barichas, but there's one other thing that I wanted to share, a beautiful pshat from the Zohar. I know we're getting too Kabbalistic here, I know we should just turn to see. Yeah, you and I, Sherry, we can learn it, but some other people here can. Bahamevin Yavin, right.
Wiser than
right. No, but we know the Zohar says, V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? V'chamushim literally on one level means they left Egypt armed. V'chamushim, the Medrash that we quoted, said that only a fifth of the people actually left. Four-fifths of the people didn't leave. But the Zohar says, you know what V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim means? V'chamushim literally is, you would translate it as 50, right? And 50, what does it mean at 50? So we know, what level of impurity did the Jewish people sink to? 49th level. V'chamushim meant that when the Jewish people, when Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, when the children of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were leaving Egypt, you know how they left out? Left? V'chamushim in steps, 1/50th every day. And when they came to the 50th day after Yitzias Mitzrayim, what was that? That was Har Sinai. That was Shavuos. That was Kabbalah Satorah. That's when we really became free, in the greatest, greatest sense. But what they say is, this is going to connect to why we say Shema. So we know Shema, we said, is the Pledge of Allegiance, right? Shema is the Pledge of Allegiance. But why do we have, that's the first paragraph and the second paragraph. It's a statement of faith. What's the third, of Hashem's greatness, the uniqueness of Hashem, the responsibility to love Hashem with everything, recognizing that there is reward and punishment. But why do we have the third paragraph of Shema? And it's fascinating. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yomi, learned a whole debate as to what that third paragraph really was supposed to be. Vayomer was like tacked on, and many say that that might not actually be Torah law, that third paragraph. It's not part of Shema itself. So why did they add on that third paragraph? You know what the key to the third paragraph is? That it has Yitzias Mitzrayim in it. It has the Exodus in it. Why is the Exodus so important? Because every day we have to remember the Exodus, because every day we experience an Exodus. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, that redemption and leaving the Meitzarim, Mitzrayim, we translate as Egypt, right? But what does Meitzrayim literally mean? Meitzarim. What is a Meitzar? Min ha-Meitzar, karasika, God from the narrow straits, from distress, from the narrow, right? Kalom kulo gesher tzar ma'od, the very narrow bridge. Min ha-Meitzar, Meitzarim are the narrow spaces, that would constrict us. The boundaries. Every day we feel there are things that are binding us, things that are holding us back in all different ways. And every day, Al Pi Kabbalah, you go through another Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why not only is Shema the Pledge of Allegiance, but Shema is also reminder. Every day you're set free. And that's why it's interesting that what's the first bracha of Shemona Esrei? I know, I'll stop. I'm sorry. It's really late. Don't worry, the game is still going on. We could still do it for another hour. No, I'm joking. I won't keep you for another hour. But this idea of Min HaMeitzar, the idea of why we're saying Shema is because we recognize. Shemona Esrei. So the second bracha of Shemona Esrei. So I know some wanted us to learn Tefillah this year. Eventually we'll get to Tefillah, right? But the second bracha of Shemona Esrei, I got to be honest, for a long time, they're like, what is it? Just a statement of faith? What's it really about? It's supposed to be Shevach, praise of Hashem. We talk about Hashem healing. We talk about Hashem letting people out who were captured. So what is the idea of Mechaye HaMesim? So the many tzaddikim say, you know what the second bracha of Shemona Esrei is about? It's about people who are here, who are walking around, but spiritually they're like done. Mechaye HaMesim, the second bracha of Shemona Esrei, is recognizing there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You know, the Kotzker Rebbe said, you know, I could bring those that have left the world back to the world, but a greater miracle is to bring those that are in the world back to the world, right? To make it, to awaken them. And that's what the second bracha of Shemona Esrei is. That's Mechaye HaMesim. The first bracha, what's the first bracha of Shemona Esrei about? About recognizing who we are, right? Meaning, Az Yashir, the beginning of Shema, is, and then the end of Shema, Yitzias Mitzrayim, is like the second bracha of Shemona Esrei. When you have that bracha of Shemona Esrei, Mechaye HaMesim, you have to have kavana of whoever it is that's in a place that they think there's no way out. The bracha of Mechaye HaMesim means there's a way to live again. There's a way out. And you could only have that bracha of Mechaye HaMesim after you had the first bracha of recognizing how much Hashem loves you. And Hashem is the Kel, Gadol, Gibor, Mevi, Goel of Nevinehem. Right? Mevi, Goel, he brings a Redeemer. Redeemer is Lashon Hove in the present tense. Not it will bring. Umevi goel, and he brings a redeemer to their children. Again, because we're the descendants of Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, and Rivka, Yaakov, Rachel, Vleya. How does he bring a redeemer? Leman Shemo, Be'ahava, with love. And from there, you go into the bracha. Ata gibra lo Hashem mechayim meisim ata rav lo shiyem mechal kelchayim bechesed mechayim meisim brachim rabim. So, I mean, everything that Hashem does for us. And so that's why this time of year, you know, the time of year al pi Kabbalah known as Shovavim, right? Shovavim, great tzaddikim, fast every Monday and Thursday this time of year. It's a time of intense tshuva, the week Shemos ve'era bo b'shalach Yisrael mishpatim, these 6 weeks. But why is it a time of immense tshuva? Because this is when the Jewish people went from being slaves, from being mamish beaten under the whips of the Egyptians, to reaching the level higher than Malachim at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And the two parshios at the heart of Shovavim are Bo and Beshalach. Bo and Beshalach. And many say that these are the two parshios that it transforms. Going from Bo, the beginning, the end of the Shibud, the beginning of redemption, and Beshalach is when we totally turn the other cheek, when it's creating a totally, totally new dynamic in our relationship with Hashem. And so I hope that when we connect to Parshas Beshalach, you know, aside from the segula that we've said many stories at the time of the story from Rav Solomon, of saying the Rimnaver is a segula of Parshas Haman this coming Tuesday, but Parshas Beshalach has greater lessons for us. Parshas Beshalach is telling us, do you know who you are? Do you know how much Hashem loves you? Do you know how every second is valuable to, do you know what Hashem just wants to be with you? And what he'll do for us? And so this is why I think that this is a parsha that we have to read and we have to appreciate it and we have to savor a parsha B'Shalach. And the way we do it every day, again, halavai, we should have time to daven Shemon Esrei, halavai, I mean, we have very, very busy lives. I get it. But to sing a little bit of Oz Yashir, to sing a little bit of Oz Yashir, whatever tune you want to sing, to just every day a little bit of Oz Yashir, because that reminds us of who we are. That reminds us that we are Banim Lamakam, we are the beloved children of the Almighty. And what parent wouldn't do anything for the child? And that's really the beginning of our relationship, before we even get to Har Sinai, before we get to the beloved, before we get to that commitment. This is the ground level of relationship with Hashem. And halavai, halavai, we can live with Oz Yashir all year long, right? Again, it's think about it. The only two parts of Torah we say every day in davening. Oz Yashir, Shema. That's it. So tonight, we learned why. Shkoyach for coming out. Shkoyach for coming out.